Welcome to Resounds, Arts and Culture on the High Plains. I'm Corby Skinner.
And I'm Anna Page. And we're sharing stories of creative people who live and work in the Intermountain West. The Yellowstone Art Museum exhibits, interprets, collects, and preserves art with an emphasis on Montana and the surrounding regions.
The Yellowstone Art Center opened in October 1964 in a building that once housed the historic Yellowstone County Jail. After a $6.2 million expansion, the new state-of-the-art Yellowstone Art Museum opened to the public in 1998. The Art Museum's achieved accreditation by the American Alliance of Museums, the highest national recognition afforded the nation's museums in 2016.
The new executive director, Brian Nicely, came from the Evansville Museum of Arts, History, and Science in Southwest Indiana. Under his leadership there, the museum earned its reaccreditation in 2017. Nicely brought world-class exhibitions from national and international artists to Evansville, and he's looking to do that here in Billings as well. We are very excited to have him.
Welcome. We are so happy to have you in the studio to tell us a little bit about your background, your plans for the future, and welcome to Montana.
Great. It's great to be here, and thank you for the welcome.
Yeah, welcome. We're glad to see you here. And you've had a career in more urban environments maybe than Montana. You worked in Indiana and Florida. Did you have any reservations about coming out west?
Absolutely not. In fact, one of my favorite jobs is when I worked for the Maine Arts Commission. And Maine is a lot like Montana, being a rural state. The only difference is there they have the ocean. Here we have the mountains. Yeah. And so growing up on a farm as a child, I actually missed that mix of urban and rural areas together. So I was very excited to see this opportunity come available.
And I've heard Maine folks are oftentimes referred to as Montanans of the East Coast or vice versa, the very similar culture and probably a lot of art-infused life out there.
Right. I mean, they are very similar. Maine actually has more artists per capita than any other state. I know Montana is about fourth on that ranking, so they are very similar. They have similar light patterns for painters. There are lots of writers around, fiber artists, so they do share those qualities.
We have no lobsters here. Do you miss the lobsters?
You know, I have to say, all the time I lived in Maine, I think I ate two lobsters. So in 6 years, I didn't really put a dent in the population.
So, well, we are happy to have you here. So tell me, coming from Indiana, Maine, Florida, what was your first impression of Montana?
Well, you know, my first impression of Montana and even the Yellowstone Museum goes back to 1993. I drove cross country, 8,000 miles in 40 days, and Billings was on one of my stops. So I saw the art museum before it's the art museum we know today. So I did know that there was a contemporary art collection here, which was really sort of surprising to me back then. And that's what sort of impressed upon my mind when I saw the opportunity come up, saying, hey, that's a great opportunity. I love contemporary art. Contemporary art really changes a community. It's not the stereotypical art one might think they were going to find when they come here, which I think is a great surprise for many patrons that come through.
Sure. And we have quite a collection of not only some of your more Western and traditional art and in the permanent archives there at the YAM, but also a great contemporary selection of works. What was your first impressions of the permanent collection? Strengths, weaknesses maybe that it contains?
It actually has a great collection. And for a museum of its size, it has a great number of pieces in the collection. It's just right over 10,000 objects at this point. A lot of museums collect just for the sake of collecting. And now they're in the process of sort of deaccessioning those things because over the years they collected too much or things that didn't match with their mission.
Isn't that sometimes difficult too?
Yes, it's very difficult because sometimes you don't know what your focus should be when you're first starting out. And I think the leadership of the YAM over the years has really focused in on making sure that that's a clean decision. And so I think they were very successful in what they did collect. So there isn't the need now to go back and pluck things out of the collection like lots of museums are doing. In fact, you know, the museum I came from in Evansville has over 60,000 objects in its collection because they collected everything. And now it's even a challenge when you get reaccredited through the American Alliance of Museums. They'll come back and say, well, how are you using your collection? How is it furthering your mission? And while they're struggling there to define what that is still, the YAM is very successful because they've been focusing on that all along.
So of all of those items, about 10,000 in the permanent collection, I'd imagine that the public has seen only a fraction of that. How do you get those rotated out or get them on display?
You know, that's a struggle for every museum. You know, every museum has, you know, hundreds of things that never see the light of day. You hope at some point you've collected enough of a genre or an artist to do a display or an exhibition or put something on tour, or some from another organization wants to borrow those pieces to put them out in the public. But, you know, that's something that every museum struggles with. We have an idea coming up probably in 2019, 2020 of re-looking at our permanent collection in a way to not just refreshing a piece or two per year like we're doing right now with Boundless Visions, which is a great exhibition, but really changing our permanent collection on an annual basis so we can get more things in the permanent collection out in public view.
So the Yellowstone Art Museum is one of the few museums in the country that actually has accreditation by the American Alliance of Museums. I guess there's maybe only 3% out of 10,000 or 35,000 museums. So what qualifies you for the accreditation? I mean, I know that it's a big deal to be accredited.
Yes, it is. It's a very big deal, and it's a very, very long process. It's sort of like getting the gold standard label in any industry. Like if you're an attorney, you could pass the bar. This is passing the bar for the art museum world. It means that your collection standards are the best in the country. You are caring for your collection under the best conditions possible. You are making sure that you're looking at all the legal ramifications around pieces of artwork and preserving the copyrights. It's just caring for collections and caring for them and understanding, you know, how light, humidity, all those other factors have an impact on your collection and how you are preserving it for generations to come. And there are very few institutions that go through that process. One, because it's a very strenuous process. It's not like you have your accreditation team come in and do a site review and they say, okay, you pass. It takes months and months just to prepare, to get your organization, not just the art collection, but your human resource side. I mean, your staff is part of this reaccreditation, your board, all your committee work, all your policies and procedures, everything that makes the organization what it is that a lot of people don't see are all under scrutiny when that comes up to be reviewed.
And I imagine that the Visible Vault plays a large part in that. Now, it was open in 2010, and I think that it's unique, perhaps, I mean, you can speak to this maybe more from the museum side, that people can go in, they can see archivists at work. It is very much intended to be able to see some of those items as they're being preserved.
Hence the name Visible Vault, which
right.
I love.
Yes. I mean, it is rare. I mean, most museums don't have that. It is a way to have people actually see how our collection is housed. It's a way to see things you wouldn't necessarily see on view and on the museum walls. There's a process you can come or make an appointment and actually ask for something to be brought out so you can see it behind glass. Most museums don't have that. Or if they do, you'll see maybe history museums that have visible vaults because you can see archivists working behind glass. It's really sort of unique in the visual arts world to have that aspect there, which is, again, another draw about why I liked this particular institution, why I came here.
Yeah, I had the opportunity to do a story on Will James. And what was fun was that the archivist was able to pull a lot of the materials that you don't see on a museum wall. So his parade saddle and his, I think they were walrus skin chaps, and mm-hmm. they were able to bring some of those items up for our photographers to get some photos of and share with the story that I put out in the Billings Gazette. But you have such a great collection of the late Will James.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've been very lucky in some of the collections we have. And I think, you know, when people come to Billings, they expect to see that artwork out. And we do have a small collection of Will James pieces out on the wall for permanent, part of the permanent collection and the Boundless Visions. But I think, you know, that's one of the things that makes YAM what it is the fact that they also really focus on contemporary art.
And that is interesting to me in terms of visitors coming to Montana. They want to go to the parks. They want sort of an outdoor experience. I don't know that people come to Montana thinking, let's go look at the contemporary art. So the historic museums, the Western museums, they sort of anticipate that. And I'm just wondering, what is that in terms of the mission of the art museum to present both those?
And I think we do. I mean, example right now, we have Rough and Tumble, Smoke and Rope as an exhibition right now, which is a temporary exhibition. But I think over the course of the year, when we look at what the broader art world has to offer, it is more than just Western art. There are museums in this region that focus solely on that. And if you're really looking for that type of artwork, you will seek those places out. I think, you know, when people come to the parks, there aren't just Western-minded people coming to the parks. There are people coming from the parks from around the world. And people from around the world are used to having a museum that has, you know, a multitude of collections there. So I think they are pleasantly surprised when they come here and they feel like Billings, yet while it's in this very rural setting, is much like any other major museum in any major city.
Art museums seem to play a large role in curating the culture and history of the area, but also in creating an identity. And so the YAM being, you know, housed here in Billings, I think it has a lot to do with the identity of our city and that it is focused on contemporary art as opposed to maybe the Western stereotype that says a lot about the type of artists that not only we preserve, but that we're showing.
Right. And we have done a great job of maintaining a collection of Montana artists. I mean, because that is very important to this region to highlight the great bodies of work that have come from this region. And, you know, the region, you know, being Montana in general, but also the region around us.
Montana does have an unusual number of very successful internationally recognized artists and sculptors. Do you have a sense of why that is, or is the support that a museum gives artists help create their legacy or their fame as artists?
You know, I think it's a mix of things. You know, why does anyone live where they live? You know, Richard Florida talked about, you know, live first, work second. And I think a lot of people, especially in today's world, if you need a large studio to create large bodies of work, it's hard to rent that space in New York City. It's much easier to come out to a place where you can buy a whole warehouse for what it costs to rent 1 month in a major city. And not only that, but just to have the sense of community around you and people who are really curious about what you're doing and not just sort of get lost in the multitude and the masses of people around. So that's part of it. I think quality of life's a big part of that. Coming out to a place like Montana where there are big skies and light, you actually have a chance to work with the environment. If you're an urbanscape person, that's what you get sort of stuck doing because you don't have a chance to go out and mix and mingle with nature and light and just normal people, I would say, on the streets. And really normal people who really have a passion about living here. When you go to a major city like New York, I mean, most of the people on the sidewalk are tourists. So they aren't people from there. It's just people using the city for, you know, a place to go. Where here, I think people are really invested in community.
Oh. And you mentioned having space to work. And one of the nice additions to the YAM when you put in the Visible Vault was this artist in residence studio. And you have rotating artists going through this space that is a very large and generous space for them to work in.
Yeah, and we hope we want to continue that and really figure out how to engage those artists more in the community. We have ours set up now so people can drop in and see what the artist is working on. But I think still it's sort of behind closed doors, and I'd like to figure out a way to get more exposure for that program so people can interact more on a regular basis.
Agreed. I've had great conversations in there. One of my favorites was when I wandered in and Neil Jessela was painting, and he's also combining poetry in there, and he just told me this story about where his art came from. And when he was a young boy, before he could even drink, he was in the bars in Butte, and there's just billowing smoke from the cigarettes and all of these Rough and Tumble Butte artists talking about how could you understand art and how could you understand abstract art if you had never seen a Chinook. And he described the way that winter in Butte is so hard, and then one day the streets start to melt, and as that warm Chinook comes in, and suddenly here he was understanding abstract expressionism through, you know, this tale of how Butte's weather patterns change.
And I think of Tracy Linder's work, because I've always loved her work, but I have no idea how that work is made. Both her paper pieces and her resin pieces. So being able to visit the Visible Vault and see how work is constructed is also very informative.
Yeah, I think it's important. You know, oftentimes you go to a museum or a gallery and you see something on the wall, you don't understand the context or the background about how not only that work got there from a technique style, but what was the artist thinking during that time when that was being created. I think being able to have that conversation with an artist, any opportunity you get to do that is invaluable, to understand their thought process, what it means to them to create their style, their process, everything. It'll make you look at the artwork in a totally different way.
Agreed. Once when you see a finished product on the wall, sometimes you don't truly understand everything that it took to get right there.
Which certainly brings up one of the missions of the Art Museum is education. I have known many people that had the position of educators, art educators at the museum. The museum has a real commitment to training young people. Do you want to talk a little bit about the education program?
Sure. I mean, art education is part of my background. I mean, I've always felt that art education is important for anybody in our culture. It just makes us better citizens. It gives us other creative opportunities to be able to express ourselves. And I think especially for this community, we don't have art instruction in the schools here, K through third grade. And I think that's at a time when kids are the most vulnerable to learn
their
creativity, understanding who they are as a person, looking at the world in different ways, and understanding that sometimes there are two answers to a question. There's not just one. To have them to be able to have self-expression and really to be able to interact with other people, understand cultures. I mean, it's so important to have that. And really, by the time you get from grade 3 to grade 4, you're then taught you must draw within the lines. There are all these new rules that are put upon you, and then you lose that creativity. And I think if we don't have that opportunity to have that creative process, and having students learn from art professionals or professional artists who are teachers, I think we're really doing a disservice to our future generations.
I also think it's very important for young people to see art, not just make it,
right,
so that they may take crayons and paper and have preconceived ideas of what a flower is or a mountain or a sky, and yet to have the experience to see art and realize that sometimes the sky is blue, sometimes it's pink, it could be yellow. And then they all of a sudden open up this bounty of creativity, and the education is a part of the experience of seeing the art.
Yeah, I totally agree. In fact, I had a really good art teacher at one point who gave us a project, and we were outside drawing trees. And it's really hard when I don't know how to draw, and I claim to be anyone who can draw because I'm not that good. I might be able to do stick figures. But she said, in the process, draw what you see, not what you think you see. We're so used to looking at objects or touching an object, and we know that a tree has a rough texture for bark, and you want to draw that. But from a distance, you don't actually see the bark. You actually see color tones. And it's important to be able to differentiate from what you've touched in real life and what you really see when you're doing a project.
I always think of Ted Waddell's phrase that he said, people that don't know think that grass is green. And there's no green grass in Montana, except right now. There's a lot of green grass with all the water. But really, if you look at the landscape, the colors are different than what we were trained to see.
Right.
Brian, do you find it a challenge to get people in the doors of an art museum? I mean, education outreach is a great way to get young people involved in art and to get them within the museum walls. But is it a challenge just to get foot traffic in there?
It is. And I think, lots of cultural institutions besides museums are struggling with this right now. I think it's important for people to know that our walls change more often than they probably think they do. A lot of people come to a museum and say, well, I've seen that, so therefore I don't need to go back right away. But, when you have 6 major exhibitions per year, that means you have to come at least 6 times a year to see it all. And if you don't, you're really missing out. And I think, a lot of younger people especially maybe more intimidated to come to a museum. So we have to figure out how to have an experience there for them. And if you can have these experiences, they will come in, they will see the art in that less traditional environment, and maybe we can get them hooked that way. So I think, as a museum administrator, we have to look at both things. How do we put the things on the wall? How do the traditional people who come to museums want to experience that? And then how do we create experiences for the people who want to come there and more or less have fun?
You've also mentioned that it's important that the museum be a community resource. How do you see that happening with the art museum? I know that you're a member of the Billings Cultural Partners now, but do you have plans for integrating the museum more into the community?
Yeah, I think it needs to be. I think anybody who is in a cultural realm needs to figure out how to be a cultural partner. I think there are lots of opportunities to collaborate across the community and with even non-cultural partners in that process. I think you have to figure out how to open your doors to bring in new groups of people who are non-traditional museum goers, whether that's renting the space for their own meetings or getting them in for other collaborative projects, having community talks. There are lots of ways to get people through the doors who are not necessarily the typical museum goer, but then you can expand them to hopefully bring them into the fold.
Now, let's talk a bit about your vision. I mean, coming into the art museum from a different community and really getting to know Billings and getting to know Montana, do you have a vision or a direction for where you want to take the art museum?
You know, I think the museum here has been on a great path, and I think it's a matter of maintaining where it's been and where we're going in the future, and just bringing in that larger collaboration pool of how do we work with this community to make Billings as a whole a much better place for everybody. Lots of jobs I've gone in to actually restructure them because they've had either administrative or financial concerns. And, you know, that isn't the issue here. And I think it's nice and comforting for me to come in to work with an organization that's already a well-tuned machine. The directors before me did an excellent job of looking at, you know, how to build the collection, how to do the right kinds of programs, how to do educational programming. And so now it's really an opportunity for me to come in and figure out how I can put my thumbprint on that to make it better for everybody.
And what role do you think art plays in making a community or making it a little bit better of a place to live?
You know, there are lots of studies out there, and you know, Americans for the Arts has done research since 2000 about the economic impact of the arts. But, you know, people want to live in a place where they feel part of a community, they understand the community. There are lots of traditional arts that make us the community we are. And I think it's a matter of figuring out how do we celebrate all those components, putting it together, making it, you know, so everyone has a sense of place when they come here, and there's an identity around the art and the culture of the community. And I think Billings has that, and maybe we just need to really identify what are those key things here and really celebrate them.
Are there any exhibits that you would like to bring to Billings?
Everyone always asks that. I think for me, the best exhibitions are the ones that maybe expand someone's mind or get them to ask the question of, wow, that's different. I don't know why, but they want to find out why. I think any opportunity you have to get someone to think about art in a different way, you know, public art and contemporary art especially is really meant to get someone to think or do something differently than the traditional. And I think, you know, not everyone has to like contemporary art because that means it's still doing its job. If it at least provokes you to think, I like this or I don't like this, this is why I like it, to have a conversation about it, you know, that's really what the art is there for. You don't have to like everything. And in fact, if you did, I would say we're probably not doing our job correctly. We want to stretch people's boundaries and what they think about art, but we don't want to push them over an edge either.
So that's interesting because as a community member, I love the idea of supporting Montana artists. But then I also don't want to be pigeonholed in terms of like, oh, this is Montana art or this is Western art. And I know one of the biggest shows that we had at the Art Museum was the Monet show that came in. I remember Red Grooms, the huge exhibition of Red Grooms. And those are the sort of things that I think challenge and enlighten a community.
Yeah, I think, you know, there is an important balance there about how you exhibit your local masters, but then when is the opportunity to come in to sort of challenge those boundaries, not only for the community, but it brings other contemporary ideas that artists here need to learn too about the broader world. And I think it's important to figure out what that balance is so you do pay attention to your local masters, but then when the time is right, you bring something in from the outside world to challenge them as well.
And I also think, Brian, that's why you're here. I mean, I love our past directors at the museum. I have a very close relationship with Donna and with Robin and have enjoyed their input. But I do think institutions need new blood and new ideas if they're going to remain vital and continue to change and evolve.
I think that's why I'm here, too. And I think, you know, I bring in that perspective of trying to figure what that balance is. I don't want to drastically change what we're doing, but I think there are opportunities that we can bring new ideas in without making that the saturation point. I think it's important to have that equilibrium.
There's been strengths and in each one of those directors, and it's good to have a fresh perspective, as Corby says. And I think art should challenge you, and it's not here to make you feel comfortable and safe. I think that it should make you think.
Mm-hmm. And I think we could do more with public art. And I know there's a new refreshed sort of vision about looking at public art and buildings. I think, you know, what is our role in that and making sure that we're ready to meet that challenge as well?
And I think with the development of downtown Billings, I want to make sure that the art museum and the library and the cultural institutions are players in the planning for a future community, whatever that development might be, the importance of having art as a partner in that planning.
Yeah, and we need to be. I mean, part of that is building a cultural identity. It's not just building buildings. And I think it's important to make sure that we build buildings, we put public art where it needs to be. You can use public art as wayfinding. There are just so many ways you can put in. I always talk with city planners because, you know, whoever goes to the catalog and orders the trash cans and the bike rack, and every city has that same trash can, same bike rack, that amount of money can go to a local artist to create something unique that puts your own thumbprint on your own community. And it's a way to spur the economic development of your own community because the money stays here.
And it creates identity outside of the traditional walls of a museum while also aligning an importance to art as part of our defining backbone of a city.
Correct.
Well, Brian Nicely, we are happy to have you in Billings, and we look forward to what you have and what will be coming forth at the Yellowstone Art Museum.
Great. Thank you. I'm glad I'm here and looking forward to working with everybody.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Resounds, Arts and Culture on the High Plains is produced by Corby Skinner, Anna Page, and Ken Siebert for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music by Alex Naumann. Additional funding provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans. More information on Resounds is available at ypradio.org.